Good morning, church. Thank you, Clark, for the reading of the word this morning. As we, get started in chapter 2, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 13. We're going to be talking about the dawning of the Holy Spirit's power in and through the church. The Holy Spirit's power is going to come upon these followers of Jesus and empower them to take an active role in the gospel ministry that's been entrusted to them. I would like for you to just kind of try to put yourself among these 120 who are gathered in this upper room. You think about what they've experienced recently, and there's a multitude of different thoughts and emotions that must be going on with them right now. They're Lord and Savior had been rejected by the religious rulers, and the people had joined with them in opposition to Jesus in a very hostile manner. And they put their Lord and Savior to death on the cross. We know, and they know, this was God's plan. They know it now. They're convinced of that after having seen Jesus resurrected and knowing that this was part of the plan. But it doesn't change the fact of where they are and who is around them and the pressures they feel. They're not in a place that is welcoming and accommodating and really glad that they're there. Keep that in mind. These men and women are primarily Galileans. This isn't their home country. This Jerusalem and Judea, it's not where they abide. So they are already in an unfamiliar place. And I say unfamiliar, they made their trek there repeatedly. They knew it very well. But this was not home to them. As they're thinking about what they're called to do. I mean, they have just been with the Lord, and He has been taken away from them, enveloped in this cloud of glory, and now He's gone, and He's told them to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Spirit. You wonder if John 15:5 comes to their mind. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And here they are. And in their mind, where's Jesus? What are we going to do? They are anticipating the arrival of the promised Holy Spirit, but in all actuality, folks, they have no idea what that's going to be. What that's going to even look like, how that's going to be characterized. And as you think about that and you think about your own need and your own situation, maybe you, and I hope you do identify to some degree with this, no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, you as a follower of Jesus are called to be a communicator of biblical truth. And you're to be a communicator of the gospel, and you're to spread the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, buried, resurrected, and ascended on high in hope. And that is our hope, to take that message to people. And yet, we live in an environment that is hostile, and it's becoming more hostile. There are people who absolutely disparage anything that manifests itself as a one who follows the Christian faith, and you actually believe this stuff to be true. How outdated and crazy and backward you must be. Some of you are in the heat of it in a major, major way right now. Maybe you can relate to this. Relate to this feeling. You need the power and presence of the Spirit. But I would say to you, in light of what needs to happen, when Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. The command came to go. We're given that command to go. We see nations that need to be changed, don't we? Our nation needs to be changed, doesn't it? Folks, the reality of what needs to happen in our country is anything that's going to take place that's going to be firm, abiding, and significant is going to have to come from heart change. And it's going to have to come from transformation through gospel grace. You say, well, gosh, that's a heavy task. I mean, this is a big country. We're just a small amount of people. What in the world can we do? Can you relate? 120 people commissioned by Christ to go into the world and make a difference. How's that going to happen? Well, we need God's power. And we need to start coming to the realization this power abides in us, and we need to be intentional about what we're doing. And we need the power of the Spirit of God. And we need to be praying and asking God to give us boldness. We need to be praying consistently and asking us, God, to give us the ability to stand true, to stand firm, and not to waver. But to make much of Christ. Make much of what He's done for us. The life and transformation that He's brought to bear upon our souls in the hope that other people will be drawn to that truth and that reality. This is what we've been called to do. So as we look at this in verses 1 through 4 of chapter 2, we see that power from the Holy Spirit produces bold communication. Power from the Holy Spirit produces bold communication. It says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Now the day of Pentecost meaning 50th, this is one of the required feasts that Israel held in Jerusalem. It was also known as the Feast of First Fruits. So it's that same feast, but it took on this designation of the Feast of Pentecost. The 50th, it's the 50th day after Passover was Pentecost. Passover is around mid-April. Pentecost is around the beginning of June. So Pentecost is 50 days from the Passover. So it's been 50 days since the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It's been 10 days since His ascension. And this group of 120 spent the last 10 days puzzled, possibly fearful, prayerful, and anticipating the promise of the Holy Spirit. And they're still not really sure what exactly that means. Could you understand what that might be like? 120 people gathered into this room. This really is not your hometown. Just 50 days earlier, they brutally crucified the one you follow, your leader, your Savior, your Lord. And Jesus tells you to stay there until you get this promise from on high. And they do that. And it says in verse 2, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. So as they're praying, as they're waiting, as they're trying, processing their thoughts about what's going on, what's going to happen here, the sound of wind begins to come into the room. It says the sound of wind. There's no indication that it was actually wind, but the sound of wind came into that room. Maybe there was wind. But as you're sitting there, you know, as you're sitting there and you're hearing all this happen, this sound, this rushing of wind sound that takes place, something's incredible going on. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. So as they're sitting in this room, they see small flames of fire appear, and then these flames stop and burn over each of them. Put yourself in that situation. What are you thinking? I think I'll borrow a term from our elder Gene. Wow. That's a wow moment right there. It's like, wow, look at this. These flames appear above each person's head in that room. Scripture at times pictures the presence of God with fire. This is a common manifestation throughout Scripture. But, I mean, just think about it. When God wanted to get Moses' attention for his job and his task, how does he appear to Moses in the wilderness? A burning bush. The bush is on fire, but it's not consumed. When the children of Israel are before Mount Sinai and Moses has gone up the mountain to receive the law, what do they see? They see the mountain on fire. The presence of God is there. When Israel is led by the presence of the Lord in the wilderness, he was to them a cloud during the day to shield them from the scorching heat of the sun, but to them at night he was a pillar of fire. His presence was there with them. And many more examples could be given. Really, we could go on for a long time. The presence of God represented in these flaming tongues. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. On each one of them. Yes, God is doing something corporately here, but also individually. None of them are excluded. The manifestation of this power and presence of God is on each one. Peter will say in his message to the Jews that what the prophet Joel predicted came true, and that's what they're seeing. Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on male and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit." The gift of the Spirit of God comes to all the people of God in the new covenant, not just a few. The power is there. That means for you and I, as followers of Jesus, the Spirit of God is real for us. And it says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So what the fire typified became a reality within each of them. Each of them being filled with the Holy Spirit is inspired to begin to communicate verbally in a language that's completely unknown to them. No longer puzzled and fearful, they come down out of the upper room and they begin to communicate with the people gathered on Pentecost openly and boldly. Think of that reality. Here they come, empowered by God. They come out of that room and they're speaking out in these tongues. Languages they don't know. Communicating in a language that was not known to them, but it's being heard by the people around them. Transformation is already taking place. Can you see that? Transformation is already happening. There's no fear. There's no hesitation. There's no holding back. They are engaged. They're going forth boldly to communicate what God had put on their heart. Acts records that bold communication is evidence of being filled with the Spirit. After healing the lame man, Peter addresses the hostile Jewish leaders who want him to stop sharing about Jesus. And in Acts chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, "Then Peter, filled with the Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people rulers of the people and elders." He boldly communicates and speaks to these leaders. That's the fruit of the Spirit of God. Boldness to communicate. Following being ordered to remain silent, the church prays together for boldness. Acts chapter 4, verse 31, it says, "And when they had prayed, the place which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." The Spirit of God gives the people of God boldness to communicate the gospel truth of Jesus Christ. We need to pray for the filling of the Spirit of God. We need this kind of boldness. We need God to inspire our hearts to be communicators. We need to stop looking at ourselves and saying, I'm not wired that way. This is not my propensity. I don't feel myself to be. No, this is what God has called us to do, and it's what God empowers us to do. To be bold communicators of gospel truth. When Paul's gospel ministry is opposed by Elymas the magician, the Spirit of God empowers Paul. Acts chapter 13, verses 9 and 10. But Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord?" You see, God empowered Paul to speak boldly to this magician who's standing in opposition to the gospel message that Paul is proclaiming. That's how bold God can help us to become. That in the face of direct opposition, people that are trying to shut it down, we can speak with the confidence of our Lord and Savior, our Lord and King, Jesus, who is the one that we represent. It is in His name that we go. It is in His name that we communicate truth. We need to realize God wants to use us as bold communicators of truth. And He's given us the Holy Spirit in order to make that happen. Not only does Acts record that bold communication is evidence of being filled, but also records that empowering for gospel service is evidence of being filled with the Spirit. Acts chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. There, the practice of the church was to make distribution of the goods of the church as this common bank, trying to help people, struggling people. And there were Hellenistic Jews who were being overlooked in the daily distribution, and there was trouble. So things were being neglected. And in chapter 6, verse 3, it says, "Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of the Spirit and wisdom, with whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, the proselyte of Antioch. And I think the point being, it's not just Stephen is the man full of the Spirit. All these guys, they're manifesting the Spirit. What would that mean? There's a boldness in their lives that shows that they trust God, not themselves. And they're going to abide in that, and they're going to walk in that. And that is something that the apostles can have confidence in. In Acts chapter 9, verses 17 and 19, this is talking about when Ananias is sent to speak to Saul of Tarsus, who's just been converted. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples in Damascus. God was empowering him for ministry. Opens his eyes, helps him to see, gets him prepared, gets him ready. Paul's life. Saul of Tarsus becomes Paul the Apostle. Transformation taking place by the presence of the Spirit. Do you need boldness in communicating to others? You bet we need boldness in communicating to others. Boldness means the confidence, the firm assurance that we believe what we're saying is true. It doesn't mean that you got to be aggressive and mean. But you know, I think there needs to be a sense of saying, God, I need to trust you that I can stand firm in what you've called me to do. And I need to look to your strength and not my own. Our tendency is self-protection. We need to trust the Spirit of God to press us forward in this life to be gospel representatives on His earth. People need Jesus, and they're not going to get it if we don't take it to them. That's what we're here to do, to be representatives of Christ Jesus on His earth. Sharing this hope that He's given us in Christ. this glorious life that we've been imparted. We need empowerment for service. And supernatural power by the presence of the Spirit of God is available, and this is what God is wanting us to understand about this. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is a one-time occurrence for life and salvation. We're immersed in the Spirit of God by God's grace. It is in that immersion that we are brought to life, where our eyes are open. In that whole event, we're recognizing our sinfulness, the holiness of God, and our only ability to be right with Him through Jesus Christ. And we're called and pressed upon, and we trust Jesus Christ. We confess to Him. We're a sinner in need of His forgiveness. And we ask Him for His grace and His mercy. And we ask Him for the ability to turn from a life of sin and selfishness to walk in a life filled with Christ and self-denial and God-honoring passions. And that's what God does through the baptism of the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is an ongoing, repeated occurrence to empower communication and to equip God's people for various types of service. And all of these expressions are needed. The fullness of the Spirit of God is needed in evangelism, and it's needed in edification. We need to be filled with the Spirit to be bold in our evangelism, to share the gospel truth with people that don't know Jesus Christ. We need the fullness of the Spirit of God to speak to one another. And yet, how many times are we conscious of that? We're never going to be, the Spirit of God never vacates us. We have the presence and power of the Spirit always. As was explained, I think, in Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology, it's like the filling of a balloon. You have this balloon, and the balloon has air in it, and it's full. But can it be fuller? Yes, and the filling of the Spirit of God does that to us. He is always there for us, but there are times we need a special manifestation of His presence and power that puts forward God's grace and His kindness to us and His ability to give us boldness in communication and abilities in service. We need the Spirit of God. This is something that initiates the church, and it characterizes the church throughout its life. The Spirit of God is real. We need Him. Gospel glory begins with the Jews and spreads to the world. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from under every nation in heaven. Those referred to as dwelling in Jerusalem were actually temporary occupants who will return to their nations of residence following the Feast of Pentecost. As he's referring to this, as Luke is bringing remembrance and account of this event, there were devout men from all over that world that were taking this opportunity to be at this Feast of Pentecost. They are devout men. This means they were devoted to the religious practices of Judaism. They're from every nation under heaven. Luke uses terms like every to indicate a large number or a sizable group. Every nation, a large number of nations, nations were represented, not every single nation in existence. The streets of Jerusalem are filled with these regular visitors who gather for grand worship celebration in Judaism of the Feast of Pentecost. So they're there, they're making their presence known. Here they are gathered, and it says, at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. So the people are walking down the streets, and they're drawn toward these Spirit-filled followers of Jesus speaking out in the language of their homeland. They're hearing these people giving forth these declarations of praise and praising the mighty work of God through the aspects of what Jesus has done. And as they're hearing this, they're like, what is this? They're hearing their native language being spoken by these people in the streets. And it was shocking, striking to them. They're bewildered, meaning they're confounded by what they're hearing. What's going on here? Isn't it good to know that God knows how to get people's attention? You and I can spend a lot of time, you know, rubbing our hands, trying, how in the world can I make? God makes the difference. Let's trust Him. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? Luke piles up these adjectives. They're bewildered. They're amazed. They're astonished to make the point that these folks are shocked. They're just shocked at what's happening, what's taking place. Galileans may be fluent in Aramaic and Greek, but they're not fluent in all the languages of the people that are now gathered in Jerusalem. Apparently, Galileans have a very distinct accent. And it was discernible, even as they're speaking these truths in their own language, they're going, those are Galileans. That's my language, but those guys are Galileans. Reinforcing the marvel of this whole thing. And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? God's gift of tongues to his people is making a definite communicative impact. What God is doing is what is necessary to get people's attention. Remember, these 120 people now filled with the Holy Spirit had no idea what God's power would do to them on that day. Folks, it's not necessary that we always understand exactly what the filling of the Spirit of God is going to look like and how it's going to come about. It's that we pray and we ask God to fill us with his Spirit, to grant us boldness, to equip us for service, and to trust him that he's true to his word. Trust God's word. Trust his promises. Now, the description of the gift of tongues here in Acts 2 and the description of the gift of tongues in 1 Corinthians, particularly 12 and 14, but most specifically 14, 1 Corinthians 14, they're different. Acts 2 describes people who communicate in foreign languages. They're empowered by the Spirit. They speak out these foreign languages. In 1 Corinthians 14, what we see is that the Spirit of God comes upon people for a personal prayer language. That's what's described in the first part of 1 Corinthians 14. And then in a corporate setting, these tongues are spoken, but then they must be interpreted for the benefit of the body. So there are various manifestations of the gift of tongues. The point that I think we need to take to heart here is God, with the fullness of his Spirit, is concerned about the communication of truth. He wants his truth, and empowered people by the Spirit of God speak the truth. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Galatia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. So these are traveling worshipers from foreign lands all around Jerusalem. So I hope that slide will come up. That's probably pretty hard to read. Okay, but all around, if you see kind of that little flag down there where Judea is, that's typifying Jerusalem. And so this is where all these people came from. Scattered around that area, they came in to these lands, to Jerusalem, to worship. And it says, and we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. The mighty works of God. What would be the most mighty work of God that would be probably most prominent on the lips of these empowered by the Spirit of God to communicate to those who have gathered? The greatest of God's mighty works is the provision of his Son as Lord and Savior. There is no question that this is what they were declaring. God has come. God has come and he has brought forth the life of his Son for the needs of his people. He has given his Son as a sacrifice of atonement for your sins. He has raised him up as Lord and Savior. He now rules and reigns as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He is the one. These are the mighty works of God that he has done. And they're talking about how this is impacting their lives. What God is doing for them, declaring these things by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 3. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is the Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is going to magnify Christ. The Holy Spirit is going to make much of Jesus. In our boldness to communicate that we are empowered and inspired and filled by the Spirit to do, He's going to make much of Jesus Christ. He's going to talk through us to other people about what Christ, great works that God has done for us, and how we can make that known to the people that we interact with. Because we're conscious of that. We're conscious of God's presence. We're conscious of God's power. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God." The Spirit of God puts that focus. Christ has come to meet your need. Christ has come to take care of your sin debt. There is hope in Jesus Christ. That's the message that we need to bring. Our world is in desperate need. Our world needs hope. You and I have the hope of the world, Jesus Christ. Making much of the gospel work of Jesus is declaring the mighty works of God. When you share what God's gospel grace in Jesus has done to transform you, this is declaring the mighty works of God. Has not Christ done some incredible things in your life? Has He not shaped you, formed you, brought you to where He is? Folks, why are we not impassioned to share this with people? We try to meet people on their terms, in their ways, and in their world. We need to recognize God has given us power to communicate His mighty works to them. And we should open our mouths and declare the wonders of our God, what He's done, how He's changed us, the work that He's accomplished. Folks, that is what we have to offer, Jesus Christ, to people. Do we not live now understanding that Jesus Christ is our Savior and Lord? Do we not recognize how precious that is to know Jesus Christ as our Savior? Do we not have the ability to recognize, man, the Lordship of Christ is over all of my life, and that's what this looks like. That's the type of thing we need to be declaring to people. We should all be praying for the filling of the Holy Spirit so that we can joyfully and boldly make much of Jesus and what He's done for us. I think it's hard for me to imagine these people coming out of this upper room looking somber. What about you? I don't think so. I think they're boldly and joyfully and delightfully making known the glories of God, the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience. The joy of the Lord is going to come manifesting itself. Our realization of being satisfied in who He is and what He's done for us. We don't deserve anything but death and hell. Look at what God has done for us. We're fortunate. We're blessed. And we can trust that the Spirit of God will bring that message home to the hearts of people. Well, I think we want God to change the world. I think that's our desire. I think we recognize that that's what needs to happen. What we need to do is ask God to start doing that work in and through us personally. God, help me to be changed and transformed. I need to be a bold representative of yours. People respond differently to the presence and power of the Spirit, verses 12 and 13. And it says, "And all were amazed and perplexed, and saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others, mocking, said, 'They are filled with new wine.'" I think this is important for us to have brought to bear upon this situation because we need to take this to heart. When the mighty work of God through Jesus is shared, some people are going to take personal inventory. The Spirit of God empowers the people of God to communicate gospel truth, and God brings it home to whom He wills. And some of these people at this point are saying, "You know what? What's this mean? I need to take some inventory here. What's going on? Thanks be to God that he does that. Others, however, are going to mock and discount God's activity. God causes some to repent and others ridicule. It happened at the beginning of the church. And folks, it's going to happen now. You can't think that if you go out in the power of the Spirit of God that everybody's going to fall down worshiping the God that you love and serve. There are some people who are going to mock you and ridicule you and tell you, what are you, out of your mind? Do you honestly believe that stuff? I mean, that is a book of fairy tales. And you believe that? What is the matter with you? But other people stirred by God will say, I need to understand more of this. I need you to talk to me more about these things. And you and I need to be trusting the Spirit of God in that situation. We need to anticipate the ridicule that's going to come. The mocking will be there, but it doesn't mean God's not on the move. There are people that are stirred in their hearts by the Spirit of God. As we communicate the truth of God, we need to be faithful. We can pray for the power of the Spirit to go out and boldly proclaim this truth, even in the face of hostility and threats. You said, man, it could be scary. Yeah. People can be pretty hateful. People can be pretty degrading. And now, man, if you're classified as somebody that's communicating hate speech, it might not go well with you. We live on this earth as children of the Most High God. We have been redeemed by the blood of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He is our ruling and reigning Lord. We live in His truth and we walk in His strength by the power of the Spirit of God. We must not be ashamed. We must not back down in fear. We need to go forward in the strength that God supplies, and we need to boldly proclaim the truth that Jesus, Savior and Lord, He is our hope. The world has nothing to offer like Jesus. Nothing. So folks, are you asking and actively waiting for the power of the Spirit? I pray that we are all asking and actively waiting in that sense. God, come with your might. In what ways are you seeing the Spirit of God granting you boldness to share the great things of the Lord that He's done for you and is doing for you? What He's done, what He's doing, and your hope in what He will do. Will you ask the Lord that in the power of the Spirit that He will bring you down from your room and into contact with people with whom you can share? Man, as the Spirit of God came and took His power and presence above the people, what did they do? They went down. They went out to proclaim what God had put on their hearts to proclaim. God, move us out. God, please move us out. Will you entrust the responses of people to God and be faithful regardless what those responses may be? Are you prepared that some will respond with ridicule? Some will repent, but some will ridicule. Folks, this is what we need to be prepared for. This is what we're empowered and filled by the Spirit of God to face and to do. May God help us. He is there for us. Take courage in what God has supplied. We're not on our own. We've been given the Spirit of God. Let's go in His strength. When Jesus said, and I am with you always to the very end of this age, He is here. The power of the presence of the Spirit of God is with us. Let us go. God, help us as your people to be absolutely devoted to you. God, to trust you for the work that you have promised to do in each of us and to believe that promise and to do that believing in active displays of faith and faithfulness, asking you, God, to fill us with your Spirit and give us boldness, give us power for service. Help us, God, to represent you on your earth in the way that you've designed. Strengthen us, Lord. Come, visit us with might and power, God. do your work. It's your work. It's your work here with your people. Nothing else can engender that. God, come. Make your power and presence known. In the name of